when we started the game, he was being aggressive and he was talking too. And then I was like, so what I like, you want to do that? I'm going to kick your ass then. So that's what I did.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster and the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Josh Lloyd, and as always, you can find me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball. We've got 8 games from Monday to recap. We've got 6 games for Tuesday to preview. So
let's get to it.
Lots of stuff to talk about, lots of overreactions to talk about, lots of reactions that are perhaps justified as well, talking about all the action that went down on Monday, the news of the potential Eric Bledsoe trade as well. Actually, let's talk about Eric Bledsoe straight away. He's been sent home from the Suns. He won't play for them again, reminiscent of when Jahlil Okafor was sent home from the Sixers last season. So he could be traded next minute, still on the Sixers, 6 months later. But I don't think that'll be the situation with Bledsoe. The latest rumor is that he'll be heading to Denver in exchange for Manny Mudiay and Ken Faried. We will see how all that plays out. A guy like Mudiay, he is worth having a look at as a player to perhaps stash for the next 2 or 3 days to see if he does end up in Phoenix. Mike James and Tyler Ulis are the guys who handled the point guard duties in Phoenix today. So Mudiay obviously has higher pedigree than those guys and would be a player they'd want to try out. Maybe not in the first week or so as he gets acclimatized, but I think that he could earn that job there. So he'd be someone to pay attention to. And of course, if Bledsoe did head across to Denver, then the blue arrow Jamal Murray's value and minutes would disappear pretty quickly. Not that his value is all that high at this point. So that's something to pay attention to there as well. Faried joining Phoenix would also cloud things for Marquese Chris and Dragan Bender also. But I would hope, although we didn't say that today because Tyson Chandler got way too many minutes for the Phoenix Suns, I would hope that Chris and Bender would still get the majority of the playing time for the Phoenix Suns. But of course, we can't always be 100% sure of that because we don't know what these coaches are going to do half of the time, unfortunately. Let's talk about the action. Let's get straight into the monstrous line of the night from Monday. And it goes to Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors. Steph, who I believe should have been suspended. He wasn't, but what can you do about that now? He had 29 points, including 2 rebounds. He had 8 assists. He had 2 triples. But the real value in Steph and why he had vaulted to the top of the monstrous line of the night leaderboards was the fact that he had 4 steals. He was 7 of 15 from the field, and he was an amazing 13 of 13 from the free throw line. He's yet to miss a free throw this season. I believe he's at about 35 from 35 on the year. That percentage, 100%, is obviously huge, but doing it on that volume is just such a massive, massive boost to your team and really puts you in a strong, strong stead in the free throw percentage category. So Steph getting to the line that much. Actually, I can have a look to see how many free throws he has hit this season because it's a crazy amount. 39. He has hit 39 out of 39 for the season, which is a bananas amount. And that has pushed him to become he's the number five player so far for this season, putting up some really good numbers so far. Despite a couple of down performances, that free throw percentage has really lifted him right up to the top there. So he was fantastic in a big blowout win against the Dallas Mavericks. The waiver wire line of the night goes to the Duke, Wayne Ellington, who put up pretty much a quarter of action. He hit 6 triples in the second quarter alone. He finished with 6 triples. He finished with 20 points. So basically, in the other 3 quarters, I think he scored 1 point, perhaps, in the other 3 quarters. I know he had a technical free throw in the second quarter to give him 19 points for that quarter. He may have scored all 20 in that one quarter. He had 2 boards. He had 2 assists. He had a steal. He was 6 of 9 from the field and 2 of 2 from the free throw line. And this is a guy that I talked about a lot in the preseason. When you want to stream threes, the Duke is a guy that hit over 2 threes a game last season. So you're getting threes or getting 3-point specialists is not always a necessity in drafts, and it does reduce the value of threes when you can find guys like the Duke off the bench who can give you those sort of numbers. And he did it again here. He'd had struggled to find his position in the rotation before this game, but saw some extra playing time, and he's one of those 5 wing players that they will use. I guess it helps a little bit with Hassan Whiteside out and pushing James Johnson and Justice Winslow more to the 4-5 position to enable the Duke to get those minutes. He might not be able to see that sort of playing time on a regular basis, and he is just really a desperation stream sort of guy for 3-pointers. And that's really really about it, I believe. The young gun of the night, it was a toss-up between one of the Philadelphia 76ers guys. In the end, it was Joel Embiid who came out on top. He had 30 points and 9 boards. He hit a 3. He had 2 steals, and he was fantastic with his percentages as well. 11 of 15 from the field, 7 of 8 from the free throw line. There was some weirdness in terms of the starting lineup. The official starting lineup sheet had Amir Johnson as the starting center, which I believe was some moron in the organization who was putting together the... who just basically cut and pasted the starting lineup from the last game when Embiid rested. And then the Sixers tweeted out the starting five, and Embiid was in the starting five, so I corrected it on Basketball Monster and said, oh, Embiid's starting. Then the official announcements, the PA announcer introduced all the starters, and Amir Johnson was introduced. He ran onto the court as a starter. I went, what the hell's going on here? Why is Embiid sitting on the bench? And then the opening tip comes, and Embiid's out there. So it was changed like 3 or 4 times during the night. Apparently, it was a clerical error that led to Embiid being not announced as a starter, but starting the game. It never really made any sense. People were hypothesizing, oh, they're trying to get him away from Drummond, trying to preserve his health, wrap him in bubble wrap. No, he is just balls to the wall. Drummond started this game looking good, but Embiid was just, he was just amazing. And the Sixers, even though they did squander their lead, and they ended up winning, but they did squander that lead, which they built up in the second quarter. Embiid and Simmons just looked terrifying for other teams. And once everyone else starts to develop, shit, man, these guys, they looked outrageous. Embiid is outrageous. Simmons is outrageous. This team has got significant upside. And Embiid, he could be a first-round player this year. I think the minutes restrictions are done in a month. I reckon they're gone. I reckon he's 30-plus by the time we're headed to the middle of November. The back-to-backs will be gone by December, I reckon. And assuming no further injury, of course, I think it's full steam ahead. And I'm talking top 12, potential top 10 finish for Embiid this season. Maybe that's being a little bit aggressive on the numbers, but I feel pretty good about him being able to get to that sort of level. He is that impressive. The dud of the night goes to a rookie, and that is Dennis Smith Jr. of the Dallas Mavericks. Smith returned from 2 games off from a knee problem. He had 10-6-1, which is not, I guess it's not horrible in itself. 2 steals is pretty good, but the fact that he only went 3 of 11 from the field and a putrid 4 of 10 from the free throw line. So those percentages were disgusting. You can talk about Steph Curry's 13 of 13 from the line being a massive, massive boost to your free throws. When you go 4 of 10, that pretty much undoes all that work that Steph did. So say you had Steph and Smith together. 13 of 13 is great for Steph, and then you add the 4 of 10 onto that, and that makes you, 17 out of 23, and it takes you down to being just a bit below average. So your free throws come right down, and that's the sort of deleterious impact that Smith's free throw percentage could have from this game. Now, of course, you've got probably 39 other games during the week to make it up, but it was a big, big hit, and that's why he comes in as your dud of the night, unfortunately for Big Dennis. All right, let's talk about these 8 games. We'll break those down and try and work out what we can from those. Benny Simmons, this guy's legit. 4 double-doubles in 4 games. His first career triple-double. The first Australian to have a triple-double in the NBA. 21, 12, and 10. 73% shooting. And that was not just at the rim. He was hitting jumpers. And I have stressed this because I've spoken to a lot of people who are, around Ben Simmons. And they said, look, the guy can shoot. Like, the guy has a jumper. He has literally never needed to use it at any point in his career, college, high school. He just got to the rim whenever he wanted to. And there was some sort of inkling of that in this game. He just was getting there whenever he wanted to. But they said he can shoot. He was a little bit worried about it. He was a little bit cautious, but he can shoot. And we saw it here. His numbers are outrageous. His passing was fantastic. His defensive stuff was good. Maybe I'm going a bit overboard. It is hard with rookies, and his free throw percentages are concerned, even though he was 5 from 6 in this game. But a top 40 finish, a top 30 finish is not out of the question from Simmons this season. I don't believe. He looks unbelievable to begin this season, and I never thought he'd be this good coming out of the gate. Bob Cove, 13 points, 3 triples, 5 boards, 4 steals, an animal defensively. I don't really care about his usage being 11% because he hit 3 threes, he had his 13 points, and he got his 4 steals. That's why you drafted him, and he did what needed to be done. Markel Fultz, only 16 minutes, 2, 2, and 3. That's clearly not a great performance from Fultz. At some point in the next couple of weeks, his minutes will go up, and if you've got the luxury of holding him for a week, maybe I would, but I don't think his upside is going to be super high this season. We've seen him struggle. It's not like in those minutes he's come in and looked absolutely fantastic and blowing the doors off. Maybe by the time he gets to February, he'll be doing that. But holding a guy who, even if he gets to 27 minutes, might be outside the top 100, I don't really see the benefit in that. So if there's someone else out there, I'd be all for it. Dario Saric, gone. Get rid of him. 20 minutes, 7 points. People are really into Dario Saric. He's just not going to have a fantasy impact this season. And he even started the second half ahead of Jared Bayless, but Bayless ended the game, played 32 minutes. Saric is going to require an injury to Simmons to become a fantasy asset. And even last season, it required injuries to, or a trade of Ersan Ilyasova, an injury to Jahlil Okafor, an injury to Joel Embiid before he became that guy, which he did for 6 weeks or so. No point in holding Saric in 12-team leagues, and he is owned in an astonishing 78% of Yahoo leagues, which is way too high. As for Bayless, he hit 2 triples for 6 points. He's a low upside streamer for the next couple of weeks, maybe, depending on what happens with Fultz. For the Pistons, Andre Drummond missed 2 free throws. He still hit 4, so 4 of 6. He's only missed 2 for the season. I think at this point, we have to be reassessing his free throws and not assuming him to be a 35% shooter. I'm thinking 55% is a reasonable goal, perhaps 65% he could be getting to, which is still on the attempts that he normally takes. It still can be a problem. But I was in a draft the other day, and I thought it was head-to-head, and I took Andre Drummond, and then I realized it was Roto, and oh, shit. So last week, I benched him. And of course, he hit every free throw and would have been killing it for me. This week, I put him in, but I'm feeling a bit more comfortable in putting him into a Roto setting because I think that maybe instead of getting a 1 in that, I could get a 3, I could get a 4, and my other categories would be strong enough, and maybe that does help me. But a real good turnaround. He did get abused by Embiid, but still put up 14 and 14 with 4 steals and a block of his own. So he had his own good numbers. Reggie Jackson is back, 16, 6 and 7. Took a lot of shots, was inefficient. That's going to be the case for him. He is also stealing the ball at a really high rate this year. He didn't have any in this game, so that will come down to his usual 0.7, 0.8 per game. But he should be owned everywhere. While Avery Bradley owners who are panicking, they'll be a little bit more relieved to see 15 points, 3 assists and 38 minutes after he played sub 25 in the first couple of games. Stan Johnson, foul trouble again, 18 minutes for him, a usage of 2.5%. He had an 18 trillion in tonight's game. So that is one of the worst lines that you can put out there. If you grabbed him as a flyer, which was fine because he was playing lots of minutes, piss him off, get someone else. And I don't have huge confidence in him doing anything. Toby Harris struggled a little bit when Bob Cubs on you. I guess that's one of those problems. And when you've got Joel Embiid in the paint, that also causes an issue. The tackle box was poor. That's John Lua for people who are asking me who the tackle box is. And Ish Smith, he's not getting those big minutes. So I think that while he has that minor assist value, I would rather move on from him in 12s, probably 14s as well, and just get someone else in there. And hopefully that can work in your favor. The Atlanta Hawks and the Miami Heat, there was no Ersan Ilyasova, there was no Dennis Schroeder for the Atlanta Hawks, so we're expecting big minutes from the Baptist, John Collins. It didn't happen, but you know what? It literally doesn't matter with this guy. 18 minutes, 14 points, 11 rebounds, a block, monster numbers. It feels like it's impossible not to own him at this point, because if we get 30 minutes from John Collins, if he plays 30 minutes a game for 2 months this season, if he came out with a 30 and 20 game, I'd just go, yeah, okay, yep, expected that. That's the sort of ability he's got to put up points and rebounds. He should be owned in all leagues, even if he's playing 22 minutes a night, because he is just killing it. The Undertaker. Dwayne Dedman played 30 minutes. He went scoreless. He had 6 rebounds. He's yet to have a good game. He missed all 5 of his shots. He did play more minutes in this one. I don't really know why. They played Collins exclusively as a center in this game as well. I suppose they wanted to run Mike Muscala as the power forward. He was the starting power forward. I'm not sure why they won't run Collins at power forward or give him more of those minutes. But Dedman, to me, was a guy that you took late and you'd hope he'd get 25 minutes. He could put up a low-end double-double and get a block. It just isn't happening for him at the moment. And you're not losing heaps and heaps and heaps of upside in a 10 or 12 teamer, so you could move on from him. Malcolm Delaney drew the start, 10 and 4 with 1 assist and 2 steals. He's not a high upside guy with Schroeder out. He could have some short-term value, but Kent Bazemore's the guy that absorbs most of that usage. He had Dennis Schroeder-like usage of 34%, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists and 2 steals. And with Schroeder likely missing on Thursday, if Bazemore is around, grab him for at least that game, while Marco Bellinelli also has some value. We also saw Taurean Prince get a bump in his usage, 20 points, 7 boards, 3 steals and 2 triples. Clearly his best game of the season. He is owned in only 52% of leagues, so he is around. He should be owned, I believe, in all 12-team leagues, despite that, I guess, somewhat rocky start to the season. For the Heat, Joshy Richardson, 21 points, and he also had 3 triples. He had 2 assists, he had 2 steals, he had 2 blocks. This is the Josh Richardson that I wanted to own. This is the Josh Richardson that I've been talking about for 2 years. Contributions right across the board. Has to be owned everywhere. Don't understand why his ownership is so low. The minutes have been through the roof all season, and it's not like we're talking about a situation where there's a guard currently out. Everyone's there. Scooter Magruder, I'm not counting because he's not going to be coming back. He's getting these minutes, and he will continue to get these minutes. The usage or the shot attempts might not be this high most of the time, but the other numbers will start to come. He has to be owned everywhere. Kelly Olynyk had another nice night with Hassan Whiteside sideline, 10-10 with 4 assists, 2 steals, filled the box score in 29 minutes. I think Olynyk is a fine 12-team league guy as well. You know I'm a big Kelly fan. I just worry that when Hassan comes back, he'll go back to a 22 or 23-minute role, which will sort of neutralize him. Dion Waiters, 10-2-1. You know I don't like him. You know I don't think he's a great fantasy option. I'd much prefer Richo over him. While the Iron Shoulder had 19 points, that's Goran Dragic with 6 assists. Jordan Mickey started in place of Whiteside. He had 2 blocks in his 15 minutes, while Tyler Johnson played 27 minutes but was limited 6-4, and he is not a 12-team league guy. James Johnson had just 8 points and only played 26 minutes, but 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, just contributing in every category pretty much. That now makes 21 assists through 3 games for James Johnson, putting up the numbers and really providing value and, you know, just showing that he doesn't need big playing time. He's not going to get big playing time. He's not going to play 33 minutes a night or anything like that, but he is still racking up the numbers in the limited time that he is seeing on the court, and that's obviously really impressive. The Charlotte Hornets and the Milwaukee Bucks, there was no Cody Zeller, Michael Carter-Williams, Nick Batum, or Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, and also Julian Stone has been ruled out with a hamstring, so the Hornets are really hurting in terms of their depth. Frank the Tank, 18-5, 3 triples, playing some backup center minutes, but also playing alongside Dwight Howard. I've been stressing this for a while that I think that he is coming for Marvin Williams' minutes, and I think this is the season he takes them. I am almost convinced that that is the case. 18-5, really high shooting percentages. He's not going to get you defensive numbers, but he is worth a look in 12-team as well. Marv had 9 points in 28 minutes. He's been piss poor to start this season. He was piss poor to start last season, and I reckon you can do better than Marvin Williams. For example, if Jeremy Lamb is on your waiver wire, he's owned in 25% of Yahoo leagues. Add Lamb. Yes, his value will evaporate once Batum comes back, but 17-9 for Lamby, took 17 shots and could have been a lot better than that sort of output. Kemba had 15-6 in a so-so performance, while John O'Brien chimed in with 14-4 in 14 minutes. Dwight grabbed 22 boards. He had 4 blocks. He missed all 9 of his free throws, which makes his ranking look horrendous. But in a punt free throw setting, and you know you're punting with Dwight, that's a really good line. 22 rebounds, 4 blocks, 67% from the field. Nice. The Baconator had 5-4, and if for some reason you're holding Malik Monk in 12-team leagues, that needs to end straight away. 4-1-1 in 18 minutes for Monk. The trust from Steve Clifford is evaporating pretty quickly. He didn't really profile as a high-value fantasy guy this season because he was mainly just a three-point shooter and not much else, and that's not really happening for him at the moment. Our fantasy MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo, had 32-14-6. He had a steal, he had 2 blocks. He's literally unstoppable at the moment, just continues to rack up numbers, while Chrissy Middleton started slow, ended with a 1-1 and 20 points. A good night from him. There was no Brogo in this one with an ankle sprain, which many people were conflating to the fact that Bledsoe was told to go home and perhaps a trade was coming. It doesn't appear that's the case, but Brogo was out. Dally started and did nothing. Apart from the 9 assists, you're not running to grab Dellavedova because Brogdon will be back pretty soon. Mirza Teletovic did his best Duke Ellington impression, hitting 5 triples for 15 points in 24 minutes, but leave him as a streamer, while Tone Snell had 13 in 37. The Jason Kidd, what the hell am I doing with my center mess continued. Thon McCur had 16 minutes. Greggy Munro got to 21 while John Henson went down to 12. You cannot work out what Kidd is going to do on a nightly basis. You can stream Henson in for blocks. You could stream Munro in for points, but holding onto McCur, onto Henson, onto Munro, it just feels like somewhat of a wasted roster spot. And also shout out to DeAndre Liggins for finding a way to get 21 minutes a night on a legitimate playoff NBA team. I think he's been off four teams this offseason, found a way onto the Bucks, and now is getting rotation minutes. At least we're not seeing Jason Terry. Let's talk about Memphis and Houston now. Marc Gasol was a monster, 26-5 with a pair of blocks. And I had numerous people, you know, sending me tweets that, what's going on with Mike Conley? Should we panic? Should we panic? You know, wasted my pick. Nah, look, he ended up all right. He only played 28 minutes. He did struggle a bit early. Ended with 17, 3, and 4. Yes, he was 3 of 10 from the field. That's not good. He was 9 of 9 from the line, but it's two subpar games. He had a monster in the first one. Hold tight. But use this, you know, I bring these things up not to hang shit on the people who tweet them to me, but to alert it to everyone else who listens, because I get those. So go after your Mike Conley owner, because maybe there's a 10% chance, maybe there's a 20% chance that the Mike Conley owner in your league is having the same reaction as the people who are tweeting me. And then you can get him for... Who can you get him for? Maybe, I don't know, maybe you could get him for... I'm trying to think of a point. You can't get him for Jamal Murray. I'm trying to think of one of those later point guards. Maybe you can get him for Darren Collison. I would do that. I would take Conley clearly, but you know, Collison's been outperforming him to start the season. Maybe that happens. Panic mode is high at this time of the year. Jim Ennis played 37 minutes, way higher than he'd played in any game so far. He had a nice 14 and 11 double-double, but I wouldn't be rushing to grab him. While everyone's favorite waiver wire pickup from day one, Dylan Brooks, had 3 points in 21 minutes. And I did mention it at the time that Wade Baldwin had 3 steals and 3 blocks in his debut for the Grizzlies. And Brooksy has failed to live up to his massive defensive performance of 4 steals and 2 blocks in the opener. And I think can fairly safely be dropped in 12-team leagues. Maybe even 14-teamers. Chandler Parsons is on a 15-minute limit, which is weird because he played 18 minutes in his first 2 preseason games. No reason to hold on to him, while Tyreek can be considered expendable. Also, Mario Chalmers with some nice numbers. 11 points, 4 assists, 2 steals. More a stream target than anything else. On to the Rockets. Eric Gordon is killing it. 27-4-7. 5 triples for Gordo. If you can sell high on Gordon, do it. You should be aggressively pursuing it, going after top 50 guys, because he is putting up... Look, this is career-best form for Eric Gordon. Yeah, it's 4 games or 3 games, but it's career-best form. He's doing point guard stuff. He's hitting his shots. He's ridiculously aggressive. It won't continue all season, so go high. And I stressed this yesterday, and I'll stress it again. Sell high means going really high. It's getting your dick out. It's putting on the table and go, what do you reckon about this bloke? And that's what a sell high is. It's not selling Eric Gordon for... I always struggle with these comparisons. I'm trying to think of a name. It's not selling Eric Gordon for Trevor Ariza. It's not a sell high. It's not selling Eric Gordon for Buddy Hield. It's selling Eric Gordon for Mike Conley. It's selling Eric Gordon for Brook Lopez. Like, that's a sell high. That's the value of, that's what you should be attempting. Otherwise, you just go, well, maybe he can stick it. Maybe he drops off a little bit, but he's probably not going to... He's probably not going to be able to continue this level of play through the season. Big night from Clint Capela, 14-6 with a pair of blocks there. You know, I'm a big Clint fan. While Trev Ariza, just the 2 points on 0-5 shooting, 5 rebounds and 4 assists. A lot of people were thinking that Capela in this sort of an offense with the Rockets guys Ariza was going to put up big numbers. I was not on board with that. I don't think that is a great opportunity for him to become a top 50 guy again. And this is actually closer to what I expected than what he'd shown in previous seasons. Who else are we looking at for Houston? Marmute with 28 minutes, not really a fantasy option. While PJ Tucker, he got the minutes, but yeah, he's more a 14-16 team league guy. 22-5-8 for Jim Harden there as well. The Warriors and the Mavs, huge blowout win here for the Warriors. Draymond 10-7-8, Durant 25-8-6, solid numbers there. Clay had 21 in 28 minutes. I think the Warriors are going to be the most boring fantasy team to talk about this season. The backup shooting guard position is still unsettled. Some nights it's going to be Uncle P, Nick Young. Some nights it's going to be Pat McCaw. Now, McCaw played 7 minutes here. Young played 19 and had 13 points with four triples. But, you know, Young could play 5 minutes in this one like he did in the game before. You've got Omri Caspi now in that mix also. Steve Kerr playing a deep rotation. And yeah, Young's going to be a streaming option. McCaw's going to be like a 20-team league guy. And that's probably about it for those guys. Jordan Bell also had a self off the backboard alley-oop at the end of the game, which the Mavericks players Mavericks players and coaches aren't too pleased about. For the Mavs, Yogi Ferrell with another big night, 13-4-2 with three triples and a steal. Until Seth comes back, Ferrell is a 12-team league guy. And Nerlens Noel, again, only 12 minutes, but 8-7 with two steals. That's still valuable. That's still useful in 12-team leagues. Now, I think he'll play more minutes than this, because the Warriors do, you know, limit centers, but I don't know why, because Noel is, and I don't know why the Rockets did it with Capella, because they're the two centers who probably are best equipped to be able to switch out onto the perimeter against the Warriors and actually stay in the game. So that sort of coaching is a little bit weird to me. But Noel's not going to play 28 minutes a night. I can 100% assure you of that. But even in 22 minutes, he can be a top 100 sort of guy. There'll be ups, there'll be downs. And just always remember this, when people say contract year, he's betting on himself, he's going to have a big one, he's going to contract year, he's going to go off, he's going to prove the money. Like, it's bullshit. It is literal bullshit. Some guys will do it, some guys won't. It means nothing. You got to take so many more context things into it. I heard it for Mirotić this season, I heard it for Noel this season, I hear it all the time. Oh, he's in a contract year, man, he's going to go off, he's going to put up the numbers, he's going to kill it. Yeah, nah, like it's not how it works, not how any of this shit works. There's so many other factors here. And they might have a big game. They might also not have a big game. You could say the same thing about many guys. What about Otto Porter? He got paid last season or contract year. Then how come he's playing as well, if not better, this year? I mean, what happened to being lazy and forgetting your money? And yeah, you got your money, so now you're going to ease off. It's just bullshit. It's as simple as that. JJ Barea had 13 points with 8 assists in 26 minutes. Yeah, some nice numbers there for him. At least until Seth comes back, he can be a streamer. The pencil, 13-7. I think this is what you should be expecting from Harrison Barnes as we move forward. Definitely not going to live up to his ADP, in my opinion. Well, Dirk, after a piss-poor performance the other night, 29 minutes, 11-7. That's fine, but his upside is really limited. He is not a 10-team league guy. He can be a 12-team league guy, but the upside's not there. So if you want to shunt him in and out of your lineup, you're fine to do that. The Toronto Raptors and the San Antonio Spurs. No Jonas Valanciunas, so Bebe Nogueira got the start, but Jakob Poeltl outplayed him, got more minutes. 26 minutes for Poeltl, 10-12 with a steal and three blocks, while Bebe had 4-5 with a pair of steals. Valanciunas doesn't appear to be out long-term. He is traveling with the team, so Poeltl might be able to be streamed for one more game. But even then, yeah, it's not really a high-priority type of situation. Norm Powell, only 21 minutes, 6-2-4 with three steals. I love Norm, but the way that CJ Miles is playing and the way that DeLon Wright is playing is going to limit Powell's minutes, and he probably won't be able to push through 30, and that makes him a tough guy to hold on to. Miles, great three-point streamer, had another three triples here, while DeLon had 4-3-4 with a steal and a block. And I think that Wright, despite a somewhat underwhelming performance, can be a 12-team league guy. Kyle Lowry owners are panicking. Eric Gordon for Kyle Lowry. There you go. Yeah, that's more than putting your dick on the table. That's putting your bare ass on someone's car windshield. Try it. Lowry owners are panicking. Now, we know that the Lowry situation has been a problem getting into the playoffs, and we know that he drops off already, and he is struggling, and he was a guy that I was quite down on this year. I don't think I drafted him anywhere. I don't expect this, and he will be better than this. So go out and throw the buy lows at them, but go low. You might insult someone. Who cares? You know, throw it out there. You can say, oh, Larry's 32. You can throw the bullshit reason out there. Got his contract, mate. He's probably going to start getting fat again, probably going to take the foot off the gas. He's older. He's going to get hurt. Mate, why don't you take Eric Gordon while you can? Do something along those lines and see how it works out for you. DeRozan had 28 points, 4 assists, 3 steals. Some really nice numbers from him there. Also, while Serge Ibaka was a little disappointing, once more 13-4 with no blocks. On to the Spurs. How's Dan Green? Really, really awakening the hearts of fantasy basketball owners who recall his monster campaign and then the two absolutely shitful ones after that. 17 points for Dan, 8 boards, 3 triples, and 5 blocks for the best shot-blocking guard in the NBA. Sorry, Josh Richardson, but Danny Green is that guy. Should he be owned? Bloody oath. Yep, grab him in a 12-teamer. It'll probably drop off his usage, especially when Kawhi returns, but when's that going to be? The other guy who's going to drop when Kawhi returns is DeJounte Murray, but shit, how often do you see a point guard, let alone a second-year guy who's inexperienced, have 16 points, 15 rebounds, and 6 assists? He's been blocking shots and getting steals at times as well. He should be owned. He is clearly outplaying Pat Mills, and he's probably better than Tone Parker already. So if you want to go and add DeJounte Murray, go and do it. I'm all for it. The numbers will drop at some point when Kawhi comes back, and then possibly further when Tone Parker returns. But he is killing it. I've talked about this, you know, quite a bit last season, not as much this year. He is the point guard of the future for this team. I was a little bit dampened my enthusiasm once they re-signed Pat Mills in the offseason. I thought Murray was going to have every shot at being this guy this year, and he is. And I just wasn't quite ready for it. LaMarcus, another big game, 20-8 with a steal and a block. While Gay, I think he's going to keep his minutes under 25 for a month or two, so that limits him. He's not really a high 12-team league guy to me, while Kyle Anderson was okay in replacement of Kawhi, 10-4 in his 28 minutes, while Powell had just the 1 point. He had 7 boards. He had 3 blocks, but he was a weird 0 of 6 from the field. Joffrey Laverne also hurt his ankle in this one, but that's obviously only mattering for deeper league people. Onto the Washington Wizards and the Denver Nuggets. Otto Porter, I talked about him already, 17-10 with 3 triples, 4 steals and a block. That's a huge performance from Otto. He seems to start out games red hot and then, you know, fade a little bit as the game goes on. If you can sell him for a top 20 guy, which you might be able to, I would do it. Johnny Wall, 19-12 with some poor shooting, while Kelly Oubre, who started in place of Jason Smith, who was starting in place of Markieff Morris, he had 14 points, 4 rebounds, 2 steals and a block. Nice numbers for Oubre. But once Markieff returns, which is probably next week sometime, and Smith, yeah, most likely Wednesday this week, it is going to take some of the shine off Oubre's outing. Brad Beal had 20. That was nice, while Marcin Gortat fouled out in 29 minutes, 13-5. Good to see my boy Tomas Satoransky in there, 5 points in 5 minutes. Not a regular fantasy contributor, but if you're in a really deep dynasty, I am still a big Satoransky fan. On to Denver. I hope the Jokic owners didn't sell him when he went scoreless against the Kings. He responded with 12 first quarter points, ended up with 29, 9, and 5. Had 3 triples there and was fantastic getting to the line 8 times. He did have a weird moment where he bumped into Scott Brooks at the end and got a tech. Hopefully nothing serious comes out of that, but it was a weird moment. But the numbers were back, and the owners that panicked with him, I think they can have their fears allayed a little bit. Paulie Millsap had an empty 17-8, while Jamal Murray, the best thing I can say about Murray is that he played 29 minutes. 8-3-6, so the 6 assists are nice, but he is clearly in limbo at this point, especially if Bledsoe ends up in Denver. I am still holding him just at this point, but it is getting perilously close. Manny Moutier, 15-3-1. If he's running things in Phoenix, I am all in on owning him. So again, I said it earlier, but I would add him. While Gaz Harris, buy low time for him. I'd happily throw Eric Gordon for Gaz and someone else. I'd try that sort of a move. He only had 2 points, but he had 5 boards and 6 assists. It didn't take the shots. But yeah, I'm fine with getting Gaz. Wilson Chandler, 0 upside for him. Gone. Yeah, move him for someone else. While Will Barton, the efficiency was a real problem in this one. He did still have 12, 4, and 3, and he still should be owned in most leagues, but I just don't believe in him. He is way too streaky as a shooter, and I just don't think he's that good of a player. The last game of the night was a crazy one. The Sacramento Kings and the Phoenix Suns, a massive comeback from the Kings, ultimately fell short. Garrett Temple went off. I think he hit 5 triples in the fourth quarter, had 23 points, not much else. Don't believe that. It's not going to happen all the time. De'Aaron Fox, 19-5-4 with 3 steals. Maybe I'm being presumptive. I feel like he's better than George Hill at the moment. Well, not that he is better than him at the moment. Whether he continues to get those minutes over Hill remains to be seen. He played 30. Georgie played 25. I would own Fox in all 12-team leagues, and let's see where this goes. And one thing that, you know, Fox has came in with a bad reputation as a bad shooter. That doesn't mean he's a pass-first point guard. He isn't. He is a score-first point guard who's a bad three-point shooter. Now, his three-point shooting has been better so far this season, but he is a score-first guy. Add him. Bud Hield, 14 points, 5 assists in 17 minutes. Bogdan Bogdanovic, he is better than Bud Hield, in my opinion. I don't think that Bud is a high upside guy to own. I wouldn't be holding on to him for dear life in 10-team as well. Bogdan, 12-3-2, 2 steals in his NBA debut, took 15 shots, all 4 taking a flyer on him, especially in 14-teamers, maybe 12s. Will Cauley-Stein, 11-4-4, yeah, solid. Justin Jackson, 10 points in 17 minutes. With Bogdan back now, his minutes will likely reduce. As for Georgie Hill, 2, 3, and 4, you have to hold, but in a week or so, if it's still the same, then fine. get rid of him. Well, Zebo had foul trouble, 0 and 4 for Randolph there. I don't think that he is a 12. No, I don't. I am very, very confident that he is not a 12-team league guy. With him in foul trouble, LeBissiere played 28 minutes, had 17 and 4. And Jaeger, just for the love of God, just play Scal and Willie Cauley-Stein. I don't need 28 minutes of Zebo's bullshit. I don't need 24 minutes of Costa Kufos. I need 30 Willie. I need 30 Scal. I need Bogdan in there. I don't need this other bullshit. I need Fox in there now. Like, this is what we need. We know, and that's fine. Yeah, play 15 minutes of Zebo. Play 28 of Scal. I just don't feel like Jaeger's going to do it. He was running a Kufos, Willie Cauley-Stein front court in the fourth quarter. Yeah. As for the Suns, Jay Triano in first game. Let's go to a more traditional lineup. Marquise Chris in as the starting power forward. Eric Bledsoe has been sent home. So Mike James was the starting point guard. So again, as I said yesterday, don't expect massive changes out the gate. The point guard hierarchy remain the same with Ulis as the backup. I love Ulis, but he is not a long-term starting point guard. So everyone who went and rushed to grab him in a 12-team league, there's a real chance that a trade involving Bledsoe brings a point guard back. Or the fact that he remains a backup. Yeah, James, that's some nice numbers here. 18 and 7. Fine to add him short term, but just watch who you're dropping. Are you dropping someone who has, you know, secure long term value? Because I'm not sure that the upside is really there for a guy like James or particularly Ulis, who had 11, 2, and 3. TJ Warren, just 24 minutes. Josh Jackson, 24 minutes. A minute split right down the middle there for those two guys, playing basically exclusively as the small forwards. Joshie Jackson had 15 and 5 with 2 steals. If you want to drop TJ Warren given this new configuration, I think you'd be well within your rights to do it. As for Jackson, is he a must own? Maybe. I would be okay doing it, but I think it's going to be more of a streaming situation. Marquise Chris, bad NBA basketball player, good fantasy basketball player. 19 and 6, 2 triples, 3 blocks, 62% from the field. Hit his only free throw, has to be owned absolutely everywhere. He's a dickhead, he can't control his discipline or anything that he does, but when he's out there, the numbers come, and that's what we're talking about for fantasy. Own him. Well, Devin Booker had 22 with 5 assists, and he should see a bump in his assists now, I believe, with Bledsoe out. Alex Len, 7 and 7 in 17 minutes, while Tyson Chandler played 31 minutes. Why would you? Why would you do it? A lot of people ran to grab Alex Len when Triano was announced as the new coach. But when you've got an opportunity to play 31 minutes of Tyson Chandler, you always have to take it. It's an unwritten rule in the NBA. Chandler can have some value for you. If you want a low-end rebounding type of guy with high field goal percentage, that can work. Len, if you added him, if there's someone else out there, Johnny Collins, if there's Scale out there, I would take one of those guys because I feel a little bit more confident in what's going to happen with them moving forward. As for Bender, less minutes than what we saw with, or fewer minutes, sorry, if I get my English correct, than we saw with him playing under Earl Watson, which is very, very disappointing.
Bite my shiny metal ass.
Shout out to you, Jay Triano. All right, that does it for the recap of Monday's action. Gonna take a quick break, have a quick drink, and then we'll be back and we're gonna talk DFS action for Tuesday. All right, guys, let's go back and talk DFS for Tuesday. But first, let's recap Monday's DFS action on FanDuel. We had, well, these are the perfect DFS lineups. FanDuel, DeJounte Murray 39 and De'Aaron Fox 39. Didn't really think we'd see a point guard combo like that. Eric Gordon 40.6 and Dan Green at 40.6. Bob Cubs at 35, while Joshy Richardson's at 39.8. Yanni 60.8, Otto Porter 47.5, and Dwighty Howard at 45.9 for a total of 386.9. That cost $59,500 on FanDuel. On DraftKings, Yanni had 63. The Duke, Wayne Ellington had 30. Dan Green 38. Porter 46.5. Dwighty Howard 44. Eric Gordon 44. Benny Simmons 55.5. And DeJounte Murray at 43.25 for a total of 364.25, and that cost $49,900 dues. All right, let's go and look at all this action that is happening on Tuesday. We do have we've got 6 games coming up on Tuesday. The first one of those is Brooklyn taking on the Orlando Magic. The Magic are favored by 4, and the total is a monstrous 228.5. There is value to attack on the surface here, but the way that things are priced, especially on FanDuel, the value is not really at the level that we necessarily want it to be at, unfortunately. Aaron Gordon is likely back for this one. Lord Alfred Payton is out for the Magic. So your any of your John Isaac value or Mario Hezonja is evaporating with Gordo returning. Let's talk about the point guards here. D'Angelo Russell's at 7,800. That's very high. This is what I mean. Like, that's really, really high. Now, I like Russell a lot, and you feel like 35 is pretty much in the bag. But at 7,800, I want more than that. And I think that scores might be a little bit lower on FanDuel with Tuesday. So Russell's okay at that price, but not brilliant. He should be looking at a situation of getting 35, but getting to 40 might be tougher. DJ Augustine, who will be the starting point guard for the Magic, he's had his price rise to 5,900. Now, he had 34 in the last game, so he would have beaten that value. But do you have a level of confidence in DJ being able to do that? I don't. But I also think that against the Nets, it is worthy of having a look at in a GPP format, because if he can drop 35 again, given the tight pricing on FanDuel for Tuesday, then you can easily exceed that in that tournament setting. Shelvin Mack at 3,700 also has some tournament upside. He gets 20 points and the value comes back for him. At shooting guard, Caris LeVert at 5,800. I feel pretty good about LeVert getting close to where he needs to there, getting close to those 30 points. He had 34 in the last one. His lowest score so far this season has been 19 points, so it's not like it's a complete write-off. I like LeVert there. Well, Terry Ross, to me, is GPP. He's 5,200. He could easily have 30. He could easily have 10. That makes him a tournament type of a player. At small forward, John Simmons at 4,400. A strong game from Simo in the last one. But with Aaron Gordon back, I think that saps a little bit of his value. I still think that you can look at him at 4,400, but more as a tournament type of guy. While the blue swimmer, Alan Crabb at 4,800, has been fairly rock solid, and I'd be okay at using him at that sort of a salary. Also, Damari Carroll, been great, but 5,800 is quite a high price tag for Carroll. But if you look at him, the lowest score he's had this season has been 25 points. So at 5,800, that's a really solid floor, and I feel pretty good about Damari Carroll, which is not a sentence I thought I'd really say this season, but I feel okay about him at 5,800. Evan Fournier, again, priced out of it on FanDuel. 7,000 is too high. Well, Jumpin' Joe Harris at 3,100, probably not going to tickle your fancy. At power forward, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, why is he at 6,200? It's too high. He only played 19 minutes in the last game. Great matchup for him. In a tournament, maybe in a cash game, I can't. While Aaron Gordon is priced at $8,000. Now, I love the matchup for Gordo. It's a great situation for him. I am in on using Aaron Gordon, especially with Lord Alfred out. I am in on using him, but at that price, it probably has to be a tournament. I don't feel super confident of getting 35 out of Gordo. He did have 34 in his only game this season, and the Nets is a really, really good matchup. But 8,000 is a very, very high price to pay. John Isaac at 42, not the greatest spot. While Trev Booker, they've bumped him to $6,000 as well. And, it's too expensive. And that's, you're going to hear me say that a lot on FanDuel. Tim Mozgov at 31, Bismack Biyombo at 33. Too high. Nikola Vucevic, 9,800. If I'm taking anyone in this game and I'm spending my money, it's him. We've seen centers go bananas against Brooklyn. 9,800 for Vuce. He can easily drop a 50. He could drop a 60 here. Yeah, I'm okay with using him, even though that is a big, big price tag. On a day when pricing is pretty tight, if I can get him in there and feel good about getting at least 40, probably 45, I'm okay with it. While Jared Allen at 36, really good tournament play. Had 4 blocks in like 14 minutes in the last game, which translated into 21 DFS points. At 3,600, that's the perfect situation you want to look at for GPPs. Over on DraftKings, the value is not really standing out everywhere on DraftKings. You got Rondé with a little bit there, Terry Ross. I like Caris LeVert a lot at 5,000 on DraftKings. Aaron Gordon at 69 has a tremendous amount of value. Shelvin Mack, minimum 3,000. Yeah, that's a tournament type of look. While I love Nikola Vucevic at 8,300, Damari Carroll at 5,000 is really good value there as well, as is Evan Fournier at 61, especially for a cash game for Fournier. Let's move on to the next game now, which is the Chicago Bulls and the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
Chris Dunn is listed as doubtful for the Bulls. So we're going to see more Jaron Grant. We're going to see more Kay Felder. Also for the Cavs, we've seen a lineup change. Dwayne Wade has gone to the bench. We've got J.R. Smith starting. Derrick Rose is out for the next two games. So Jose Calderon's going to start, but that'll mean more Shumpert and more Wade handling the ball on the second unit. Let's talk point guards. You've got Grant, who's at 6,400. Another guy that's just been really priced out of it. It is a blowout situation, and Jose Calderon defense is not something that's all that intimidating. So I'll be okay with looking at Grant. I feel pretty good about him getting to 30 points, which at 6,400 is not a bad situation to be in. Kay Felder, revenge game? Nah. He's at $3,000, and I don't think we'll care too much there. While Calderon at 37, he just didn't play any minutes in the last game. At shooting guard, Dwayne Wade at 5,000. Maybe you talk revenge game for Dwayne Wade. Again, I hate that narrative, but at 5,000, running the second unit, getting the bonus for assists, makes Wade a tournament type of a player. Denzel Valentine at 47 is not really doing much to tickle my fancy. Well, Justin Holiday, much like Jaron Grant, is priced at 6,400. He's going to jack shots, and if they go in, he could easily beat that. I think his floor is pretty solid, so he's a cash play. He's also a really nice tournament option here as well. J.R. Smith at 4,000, only tournaments, but still not feeling super strongly about that. Well, Shumpert had 34 points in the last game. He is at 4,500. I love that for tournaments. If they're going to let him run things more on that second unit while Calderon is limited, then Shump could easily get to 25 points. And at 4,500, the value comes there from him. So he is definitely in play. At small forward, LeBron James.
LeBron James.
He's at 10,700. Yeah, I feel good about LeBron getting 50 against this inept Bulls squad. Blowout is a risk, but I think LeBron could triple-double in three quarters pretty much in this one. So I think LeBron's fine. Yeah, floor is really safe for him. Paul Zipser, who I criticized the announcers for calling him Paul, but apparently in German he is pronounced Paul. So Paul Zipser at 4,000. Nah, yeah, sorry, mate. Not happening. Jeff Green at 3,000.
My name is Jeff.
Yeah, I'll pass on that one as well. Jeffy at Paul Ford. Lowry Markkanen, the price is up on Markkanen, 6,300. But again, tight pricing day in cash. I'm okay with Lowry. You know he is going to get the minutes. Jay Crowder at 5,500. Yeah, I don't love it. He had 5 points in the Cavs' last game that lost to the Orlando Magic. Maybe look at him as a tournament guy at that sort of salary, but that's really about it. And with the centers, you've got Kevin Love at 8,300 tournament. I love it. Actually, I don't mind that for cash as well. I think that he can annihilate this Bulls team. While Robin Lopez is going to get lots of shots, and at $6,000, I think he has actually some solid cash value because he is going to take those shots. We've seen that so far. Not interested in Tristan Thompson really at all. Let's look over on DraftKings now. Take a look where the value is here. Denzel Valentine, much more reasonably priced at 4,000. Jaron Grant at 5,000. I love Lowry Markkanen at 57. I love. And Jay Crowder at 47. I am in on him there as well. Same with Love. Same with Holiday. And LeBron at 10,000 is really, really rock solid over on DraftKings. So a lot more value coming out of this game on DK versus FanDuel. Dwayne Wade's at the 5,000 again. Still probably look more as a tournament guy. While 5,800 for Rob Lopez. Yeah, I'm okay with using him here on DraftKings as well. Same as Shumpert, who is priced at a ridiculous 3,700. Really, really want to get behind using him, especially with Derrick Rose out, as I mentioned earlier. Let's have a look at the next game. We're going to talk the New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics. The Celtics are favored by 8.5. The total here is 209. Marcus Smart is questionable. If he doesn't play, then Terry Rozier gets the bump there and becomes a solid option. If Smart plays, I'll talk about him in a sec, but Rozier gets that bump if Marcus Smart happens to be out. Frank Ntilikina is out for the Knicks. I don't imagine Bill Hernan Gomez is going to play. They'll stick with that Kylo Quinn. Ennis Kanter rotation, but this is Jeff Hornacek, so anything can happen. And Hernan Gomez could play 43 minutes in this game for all anybody knows. At point guard, Ramon Sessions played 33 minutes and had 25 points in the last one. He's at 4,100. Yeah, I'm totally okay with him. I don't feel great about it in cash, but he's fine as a tournament guy. While Kyrie at 9,100, put him in that LeBron mode of like the pricing's so tight that you know, getting a $9,000 stud in there, maybe to get you 45, it should be enough. Maybe we should be targeting like 4.5 or 4.7x instead of 5x, given the way the prices are structured on FanDuel. At shooting guard, Timmy Hardaway, people are off him for sure. He's at 4,700. I am all in a tournament. He won't shoot 29%. He won't continue to have no rebounds, no assists, or no steals. I am in a tournament setting for Tim. The minutes have been there. Something will click for him. Courtney Lee at 4,000, a low upside, low floor player, which is not much, that you don't want much to do with that. While Marcus Smart, he's at $6,600, which is quite high. But I feel pretty good about him having a 30-point floor, which at 6,600 is totally okay, given the way that this is all structured. So I'm okay with using Smart, assuming he is ready to go. As for Rozier at 5,500, if Smart plays, then using him at that price is probably not a great idea. At small forward, Jaylen Brown is at 6,100. After that first game, he's really struggled to get back to that level. I don't hate it, though, here. I think against the Knicks, he's got that ability, but as a GPP sort of player, more than anything, well, Doug McDirt, you can have him. At power forward, Mick Beasley, 3,400. Tournament only guy, of course. While Jason Tatum at 6,900.
Giggity!
And that's too high for Tatum. Unfortunately for me, he'd need to do a lot more than what he's been good, but he'd need to do a lot more than that. As for Porzingis, he is at 9,300. His lowest score so far has been 46. He's killing it. He's getting a usage through the roof. 9,300. I'm all for Porzingis at that sort of a salary. At center, Al Horford, 7,300. Just probably a little bit too high, while Kylo Quinn at 5,200 killed that value in his last game. The salary has gone up, but we just don't know with the uncertainty with the Knicks center. So with Koch at 5,200, I would use him in a tournament because he does have the ability to blow through that, but I don't feel great. 56 for Enes Kanter. Yeah, I think that there is some use for him in a cash game setting, maybe a tournament as well, but I feel confident about him holding those minutes rather than Kylo Quinn. Let's take a look at the pricing of these guys over on DraftKings. Koch is at 4,200, so I really, really like that. It even maybe tempts me into cash, but every time I seem to use Kylo Quinn for cash, he burns me. So we'll leave it more as a tournament. Jason Tatum at 6,000 has more value on DraftKings. Sessions at 4,000, Timmy Hardaway at 5,000, Marcus Smart at 58 are all pretty good value plays, while Kyrie at 87 also gets me interested, as does Kanter at 5,300 and Porzingis at 8,500. Over on DraftKings. Let's go on to the next game here. That is the Indiana Pacers taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Miles Turner has been ruled out for the next two games already, so you know that's opening up the minutes for Domantas Sabonis. The Timberwolves are favored by 11, and the total is 217 in this game. Let's talk point guards. Corey Joseph's at 3,900. A decent performance from him in the last one, but that just doesn't interest me in the slightest. Well, Jeff Teague at 7,000. Smash through that. But I do worry a little bit, and this is going to sound weird, I worry that Tibbs will limit his minutes if a blowout arises. It didn't happen in the last one because he played 40 minutes and it was a close game. But prior to that, Tibbs had been actually reducing some of the minutes for some of his guys. But I don't hate using Jeff Teague here. I think it's actually a fairly solid situation. Big Daz Collison at 6,500 has been crushing it this year. He's averaging 26 points, which is not quite where it needs to be. He's averaging 33 points, which is pretty much exactly where it needs to be, at 6,500, and I am okay with using him. Shooting guard, Vic Oladipo, big, big price for Vic, 7,600. The Jimmy Butler defense is a little bit of a worry there, but I wouldn't rule him out of a tournament. I just wouldn't be all over him. While Wigo at 6,900, he put up 46 against the Thunder. Again, more of a tournament situation. Until I can feel more comfortable with his ability to get peripheral numbers apart from scoring, that leads him to be more of a tournament-type player, in my opinion. The small forwards, Jim Butler, 8,300, hasn't quite been himself. That price is starting to come down. More of a tournament on FanDuel, but you see him cheaper on some of the other sites. Well, Bojan Bogdanovic is always in the conversation to be a tournament option. Lance Stephenson, the minutes are continually coming down. I'm not in there either. Same with Nemanja Bjelica at 3,000. At power forward, TJ Leaf, 3,600. The minutes are going to be there. I like Leaf as a tournament guy. He can get hot, maybe score 15, 16 points at 3,600 in this situation with Turner out. I like him as a tournament play. Well, Taj at 4,800. I'm not sure there's much upside in Taj Gibson at 4,800, but for a cash game, I feel pretty good he's going to get me at least 20 points. Thaddeus Young, $6,000. Maybe not the best matchup for him here. The price has come down, so it does make me a little bit more interested, but not really. Well, Domantas Sabonis at 4,800 in on that totally. He's going to be the starting center. He dropped 39 in the last one. Yes, he disappointed the first game without Miles, but I'm okay with using Sabonis, especially at that sort of a cheaper price. Gorgui Dieng, forget it. At center, Carl Anthony Towns, 10,100. Yeah, I'm going to get 45 out of him, maybe 50. I'm pretty okay with using him there, while Al Jefferson at 4,100, putting up some surprising numbers. So if you're looking for a cheap center, Jeffo put up 27 points in the last game. He's been okay in the minutes that he's played. The numbers have come, so I don't think you should be totally writing off Al Jefferson as a DFS value option. I think I've just deleted my DraftKings page for that game, so I will just bring that up just quickly. If you just talk amongst yourselves while I bring that up, and then we'll get into it. I am going to go through at the end of this show as well and give you, I know people who play Yahoo DFS, I'm going to give you some Yahoo DFS plays as well, just as a little bit of a change up on today's show. So those of you who play Yahoo DFS, I will go through some guys that I do like value wise over there. Now on DraftKings for this Indiana Minnesota game, there is some value standing out here. Jim Butler at 7,000 looks fantastic value. Yes, the form hasn't been there, but love that. Carl Anthony Towns at 8,600 appears to be a lock to me. TJ Leaf at 3,000, I like. Jeff Teague at 6,200, Taj at 43, and even Thad at 5,600, or Daz Collison at 57. Much more value on DraftKings for this game than there is on FanDuel. We've got two games to go here, so we're going to talk about the New Orleans Pelicans and the Portland Trailblazers. Jameer Nelson will remain on the bench for the Pelicans. That doesn't mean he won't have value, but there was a chance that he moved into the starting lineup, but that is not going to happen. The Blazers are favored by 4.5. The total is 221.5 points. Let's talk point guards here. Drew is at 6,900. He had a good game in the last one. I'm not quite ready to commit to him for cash, but there is something there at 6,900 where I could use him, and I really do like him in a tournament. Whereas Jameer at 3,800, I'm all aboard using Jameer Nelson as a GPP point guard. As for Dame Lillard, almost the 10,000. 9,900 for Jameer. Not Jameer, Jesus, for Lillard. 50 points is definitely on the cards for Lillard. Cash, tournaments, I'm all there. Ian Clark at 3,900, really strong numbers for him as well. I'm okay actually slotting him in as a cash cheap play and getting your 20 points out of him. At shooting guard, love CJ McCollum at 7,800 here. Evan Turner at 55, probably priced a little bit too high. Well, Etuan Moore at 4,200, only as a tournament look and not feeling strongly there. While Pat Connaughton, the minutes are there, but I'm just not sure that we're going to see the same shot attempts that we saw in some of those earlier games. In fact, he scored just 2.5 points in his last outing despite getting 19 minutes. Mo Harkless had a big game in the last one. He's at 4,800, but that only gave him 25 points that big game. I'm not really interested there. The upside is pretty limited. Dante Cunningham, Tone Allen, and Darius Miller. There's zero upside to talk about. At power forward, Al-Farouq Aminu, 5,300 for Al-Farouq. Tournament guy only. He's up and down, but he can pull in some big lines. While Tone Davis, 12,200, killing it so far this season. I think you should feel really solid about getting at least 52 or 53 points for Tone here. I'm all in on getting him in there, assuming you've got the other cheap options, which might be hard given the way the prices have panned out on FanDuel. Centers. Yusuf Nurkic, 7,900, got things going in the last one. The Boogie Cousins matchup is tough for guys often, but I think Nurkic at that price is worth a squeeze. Whereas Boog at 11,400, he is in the mix as well. And I think that he can really put up, you know, close to a 60-pointer here. So Davis, Cousins, and Nurkic all in consideration. If you go across to DraftKings, Jameer Nelson, minimum salary, 3,000, all over that. Evan Turner, 43, value. Nurkic, 68, yes. And Lillard at 84. Lillard, 84, and Towns, 84, are two of the best DraftKings cash plays, I believe, that are on the board out there. CJ's at 7,100. I really like that. Boogie at 10,500 and Davis at 10,900. Both are valuable options over on DraftKings also. Let's get into this final game of the night, and that is the Utah Jazz against the Los Angeles Clippers. Finally, the Clippers get to play a team they won't beat by 30 points. Rocket Rodney Hood is questionable with his calf issue. If he misses, Don Mitchell, Thabo Sefolosha, they all get a bump in minutes. Howell Neto gets in there as well, but none of them. Yeah, Mitchell's been pretty putrid for most of this season, so none of those guys look sensational. We know that Miloš Teodosic is out for the Clippers as well, so more minutes for guys like Austin Rivers, Pat Beverley, and Lou Williams. At point guard, Ravishing Rick at 7,500. Yeah, I think that's all right. I think it's a decent cash play with a pretty high floor there for Rav. Pat Bev at 6,000. The minutes should be a little bit higher for him. A nice, decent game for him in the last one at $6,000. The matchup against the Jazz, Gobert, Rubio, probably turns me a little bit off Beverly, but I could still see a reason to use him. I think there are other guys out there you want instead. Austin Rivers at 4,500, you look at the opportunity, you go, that looks great. But my confidence in his fantasy point producing ability, especially in a matchup against this team, I will probably fade him or tournament him only. 55 for Lou Will. Again, the defensive concerns are a concern. I mean, the defense that he's going up against, that is a problem. More of a tournament type look for Lou, but I'd feel more confident in cash with him. Rocket Rodney, always just a tournament guy. Well, Don Mitchell, I'd say you'd have to say the same thing for him. Small forwards, the Rooster, 6,500, hasn't been there initially. The shots have been there, the minutes have been there, the shots have not been falling. So I am all aboard the Rooster train here. I think that he should be getting 30-plus here. The shots will fall and he will put up a big game. So I'm all aboard Danilo Gallinari in this one. Jingling Joe at 5,000. I also feel pretty strongly about him for cash and for tournaments. Joe Johnson, Wes Johnson, Sam Decker-Tabo, nothing really stands out with those guys. Derek Favors at 5,600. I think Favors at 5,600 is an okay cash play if you're looking for that mid-round or mid-price power forward, getting your 27 points there. The minutes have been okay for Favors. He's yet to have a big game, but I'm okay with him there. While Blakey Griff at 10-2 has been killing it, I think the Gobert slow pace factor probably takes him out of the running at that sort of a salary, unfortunately. While at center, you've got Rudy Gobert, you've got DeAndre Jordan. Either guy is worth a look. 85 for Gobert, 83 for Jordan. I could see either of those guys being useful options. Over on DraftKings, you got Rivers at 3,800. I'm more inclined to use him at that slightly cheaper price. The Roosters at 55, Gobert's at 76, and Jordan's at 7,000. Value for both of those players, while Ravishing Rick at 6,400 and Lou Williams at 49 are also good options. Blake Griffin comes in at 9,000. I think that's a strong play there as well, while Ingles at 4,700 is also a really, really good option, I believe. Now let's go to Yahoo, and I'll just highlight some guys that I think are worth the value. $11 for Jaren Grant, $12 for Justin Holiday, $13 for Lauri Markkanen, all aboard those guys. Minimum salary of 10 for Ramon Sessions. Yep, Damari Carroll 11, Caris LeVert, love that. The Blue Swimmer at 10 bucks is a great, great option on Yahoo. DJ Augustine at 10 bucks is great. Taj Gibson at 12 is great. Jameer Nelson at 10 is an interesting GPP guy. I think TJ Leaf is worth a GPP look, and I love Jingling Joe at $13. In terms of the higher price guys, Yusuf Nurkic at 26, I think he has a level of value there. DeAndre at 33, Oladipo at 29, and Vooch at 36. Some of the other higher price guys, same as D'Angelo Russell and Kristaps Porzingis at $32 and $36 respectively. Over on Moneyball, forget about tight pricing. They don't give a shit about it. They're just, everyone's low price. Justin Holiday, he's got a 10x value night here. Jaren Grant, Jason Tatum, Kylo Quinn, Evan Turner, Lauri Markkanen, As Gordon. You know, value is just falling out of these guys. Caris LeVert, Terry Rozier, TJ Leaf, Taj Gibson, Damari Carroll, love all these guys. If you want to go for some higher price guys, Porzingis at 7,700 should be the first guy locked into your lineup. LeBron's at 10.6, CJ's at 7.6, and D'Angelo's at 7.1. Vic Oladipo also at 7.1. You could make 400-point scoring lineups pretty comfortably over on Moneyball. On DraftStars, the pricing is just as loose. DJ Augustine, Ramon Sessions, Justin Holiday, Jaren Grant, Lauri Markkanen, Caris LeVert, Jay Crowder, all really, really strong options. Yusuf Nurkic at 12.6, I think, is a strong play. Evan Turner, Aaron Gordon, Jim Butler, Terry Rozier, and the Rooster also looking good, as is Damian Lillard, because when you save all that money early on, you need to spend it on someone, and Lillard is the number one target, in my opinion. Over on DraftStars, that's the name of the site. All right. Don't forget to check out LockedOnFantasyBasketball.com. You can find all the podcasts there. Of course, over on BasketballMonster.com, we will have a waiver wire article by Matt Smith coming out today. Leave a review for this podcast. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and on Spotify. And I apologize for you guys that watch this on YouTube. There was an uploading error. I didn't realize there was an uploading error. I went to sleep and then it stalled halfway through. So the video was a little bit delayed today. Make sure you do subscribe on YouTube. Give it a like. Give it a share. Leave a comment on the video also. It's a great way of helping the show get out to more people. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Joel Embiid.